Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. We have a special presentation for you. It'll be brought to you over four different nights. It's broken into four pieces. Because this is essentially how it was, given to the radio community. They would put it together as a two-hour presentation, but it was really presented as four sides of a transcription disc. And a transcription disc is essentially a record. Well, I think it's so interesting. So seldom can we bring you, the stories of the artist or the guest stars because they're the easiest things to look up and figure out. Seldom do we have the behind-the-scenes stories of how these shows digitally became stored, created, saved for all of us to enjoy, shared. Well, this time I have that story, and so I really want to share it. I go to a forum where I'll throw out every once in a while, oh, I've got this show I want to present soon. It's in really bad shape. Does anybody have a better copy? And then people will check, and sometimes they won't find anything, and then sometimes they will, and they'll post that a nicer copy of the show, and I get it that way. I try to do that with Judy Garland appearing on the Edgar Bergen show last week that I had. I presented, Mindy presented it on Friday, and nobody could find anything. So I finally scoured the internet and found this little piece, just Judy's part, that I thought was great that we found that. I was so delighted, and I played it. Well, then, of course, my shows go out, and 2,000 people hear them. And one of our podcast listeners threw out that he had a really nice copy of it. So he sent that to me. And so now I've got this beautiful, pristine copy of that episode. And I'll be bringing that to you, I think this, I'm going to bring it to you this Friday. So you'll have a chance, even though we just heard it last Friday, but it's a big difference. But that's how we sort of work on that forum. Now, Gary had asked, he'd said, oh, there was this show, and he didn't even, for a while he didn't know the name of it, but then he figured out the name of it, that he'd known that it, when he was younger, he'd heard Bob Hope in 1982, that's 1982, so this is way after old-time radio, but that Bob Hope had hosted a radio show that was about old-time radio Christmases, especially his Christmas shows, and that he had heard part of it, but he'd come in late to it and just heard it when it was already on, and then he had to leave before it finished, so he just heard part of it, but he was really impressed with it, really liked it. And so he thought about it all these years. Well, then he found an article about it in the newspaper at the time. You know, he'd done a search on the internet and then found a newspaper from that time frame, from 1982, that actually mentioned the name of the show and everything. So he posted that this is what he was looking for. And so he posted it for less than a week. And nobody has any response. Nobody has the show. No one's heard of it or anything. And then he comes back and he posts again that he found it on eBay. The actual transcription disc, like they would send out to the radios stations. And he bid on it and he won. And so he had these transcription discs. And then, you know, he could just leave it at that and just go, oh, I've got what I've always wanted. he the happy camper. But no, he shared it with all of us. So he digitized it, shared it, and then he did something no one's ever done that I've ever seen. He actually had a copy with the cue sheets, which is what the DJ will use to figure out when he can come in and say something, and when it just says what's coming up and what the intros and outros of the different pieces of the show are. And so he takes these and he creates PDF files of them. So you have not only the show, but you have the cue sheet that goes with it. And it's got a picture of Bob Hope on the cue sheet and everything. It's pretty cool. So I'm going to post the cue sheet so you guys can click on that and look at the cue sheet while you're listening to the episode, which is really cool. Anyway, but Gary, I was just so impressed with him doing this. And I just had to share that that's how this came to be. I'll get into the specifics of the shows as we go on, but this first part, I'll just tell you real quick, has Bob Hope's going to make an appearance. Definitely scenes from a lot of different Bob Hope shows. Bing Crosby makes an appearance. And some of it's like old, and then some of it's newer stuff that's not radio. For instance, this has appearance by a Muppet. I think Ralph the dog is the Muppet, along with John Denver doing a Christmas bit. So anyway, it's just a really interesting time. I hope you'll enjoy this. And we have four parts to present. Tonight we'll just present part one. And thank you so much to Gary for allowing us to do this and also sharing about how he got a hold of this. So very cool for him that he found something that he'd always wanted to hear again and that we all get to enjoy it as well. So without further ado, here's Bob Hope from NBC's Christmas, I think it's called Christmas Like It Used To Be or Like We Used To. I don't even remember the title. Anyway, you'll figure it out. It'll say it itself. Enjoy.
From NBC's Radio City studios in New York, from Hollywood and around the world, a Bob Hope NBC Christmas just like the ones we used to know. Brought to you by Kraft. Join us for some of the best Christmases we can remember. There's something special from Kraft. And by Whitman's Chocolates, makers of quality box chocolates since 1842. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Well, hi, everyone. This is Bob, 44 years of Christmases on NBC Hope, welcoming you to a couple of hours of Christmas cheer radio style. We're going to listen to the way we've celebrated Christmas over the years and along the way share some of the humor and traditions of the holiday. Of course, a Christmas tradition for me is our annual bunch of Yuletide shows. And through the years, we played all over the world and to just about every kind of audience. Back during the Second World War, we started doing troop shows.
Yes, sir, it's a great thrill and an honor to be on this command performance show on this Christmas Eve, the time of year when everyone has a feeling of love. Boy, you should see all the young couples walking in the park, the fellow with his arm around the girl and the man from the draft board with his arm around the fellow. But fellows, back home here, the women are making this a victory Christmas. My aunt is very patriotic. Yesterday, she gave her girdle to the scrap drive. Now she's dreaming of a wide Christmas.
One of the things I always remember is what great Christmas dinners we had at those troop shows.
Anyway, it's wonderful to be down here on Christmas and sharing the fun. The cooks here went all out for Christmas. They wanted to give the boys a white Christmas, so they bleached the beans. I'm kidding. Actually, they had a wonderful turkey dinner and topped it all off with a flaming dessert. Flaming dessert. That's better set fire to it, Max. Somebody goofed.
After the war, we made a practice of visiting veterans' hospitals at Christmas time.
It's good to be here tonight. Of course, this is a little new to me. It's the first time I've ever been in a hospital before a broadcast. And this hospital is located in such rugged country, you have to get well before you can come here.
We always had great guest stars on the Christmas shows. Guys like Tony Martin.
Say, Bob, what's been happening since I've been away?
Oh, everything's about the same, Tony. Betty Grable is still my steady girlfriend.
Betty Grable, your steady girlfriend? Bob, Betty married Harry James 2 years ago to have a little baby.
I thought she'd been acting a little cool lately.
And, of course, our greatest and biggest guest star, Bing Crosby. Here's Bing in our show, Shortwave, to the U.S. from parts unknown.
Perhaps you can help me, Santa. I don't know the store very well around here, and I'm looking for a present for a friend of mine, Bob Hope. Why don't you buy him whatever he needs the most?
Well, now, that's an idea, yeah. Where can I get a large package of talent?
Oh, he was beautiful. And, you know, that shortwave signal reminds me of the problem we'd have getting everybody on planes and trains. And into hotels. Our producer, Al Capstaff, handled things most of the time. But every so often, we'd run into difficulties. Like the time I was driving into Corona Naval Hospital in California with cast members Vera Vague and Francis Langford. And we tried to pass the sentry at the gate.
Say, here's the hospital gate. I guess we can drive right by the sentry.
Good evening, visitors.
Oh, no, not my friend Rush. Now, look, sentry. I've got to get into the hospital immediately.
Okay. Who's next?
Kelowna, where's your Christmas spirit?
Lost it in the crap game.
Tell me, soldier, why are you wearing that Marine coat?
You got me? I don't know why they gave me this thing to wear.
And those Army pants.
I don't know why I'm wearing those either.
And that sailor hat.
Haven't any idea.
Well, what branch of the service do you belong to?
Intelligence. Now, scram, Hope.
Well, I guess it's no use.
Girls, let's sneak around the back and climb over the gate. Okay, but who'll hold my gun?
Yeah.
Now listen, Hope. This is the last warning. Beat it now.
Okay. Come on, Francis, Miss Vague. Hey, let's try to climb over this fence. But it's pretty high.
Well, the best way to do it is to stand on somebody's shoulders.
Yeah. Come on, Francis. You and I will do it. There. That did it.
Yes, Bob, but now how will I get over?
Yeah. Well, I'll help you, Francis.
Quick up this ladder and we'll get on the roof.
Gee, it's dark up here.
Shh. I hear the sentry coming. Let's hide behind the chimney and make like ducks.
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Yeah, they've even got doctors on the roof.
That sentry was Jerry Colonna, of course. What a talent. Despite problems with sentries and occasional misconnections, we usually managed to get where we were going, and wherever that was, we tried to bring the special feeling of Christmas with us. One of my favorite moments was the time Bing and Carol Richards first sang Silver Bells on the air. It was from a picture of mine called Lemon Drop Kid. And it's always been one of my favorite songs. I can still remember Bing and Carol singing side by side at the mic in front of Les Brown's band at NBC's Vine Street Studio in Hollywood. It was December 1950.
Busy sidewalk, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear
silver bells,
silver bell. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Strings of streetlights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasure.
Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene. And above all this bustle you hear.
Silver bell.
Silver bell. It's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling.
Hear them ring. Soon it will be
Christmas Day.
Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Stay tuned. Bob goes out in search of a Christmas tree on a foggy night in Burbank when a Bob Hope NBC Christmas, just like the ones we used to know, returns. But first, this from Kraft.
Tradition means a lot during the holidays. There's no substitute for it. And that's how people feel about Philadelphia brand cream cheese. Whether you use Philly in your favorite holiday cheesecake or simply spread it on crackers, the taste of Philadelphia brand cream cheese says something about you, something good. It shows the time and care you take to use all the right ingredients. So when the family reunion rolls around this holiday season, isn't it silly not to use Philly?
It's a Bob Hope NBC Christmas, just like the ones we used to know. Once again, here's Bob.
Hey, thanks, Bill. By this time of the year, just about everybody has their Christmas tree up, which makes sense because it's so close to Christmas. But one year, I waited till the very last minute to get ours.
Ring a ring, are you listening in the lane? Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland.
In the lane, snow is glistening. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?
Gee, just three more days. I've got to get a Christmas tree. But I don't see why I should pay for it. It's so foggy, nobody will see me if I cut a tree right then. Put one right down here at the edge of this park. Boy, this is a tough one. I'll get it. That did it.
What's going on here?
Oh, hello, officer. Well, I was just helping myself to a Christmas tree. But in all this fog, I guess I picked a pretty big one, didn't I?
You sure did. You just chopped down the only telephone pole in Burbank.
Well, that didn't work out too well. Another year, Ohio State was in the Rose Bowl, and all my relatives from Cleveland came into town for the game.
Since we have so many house guests, I'm spending more for Christmas decorations. I'm not having the usual tree this year. I'm getting a new one. You know how they're selling Christmas trees for $1 a foot? Well, I got a beautiful tree for 50 cents a foot. There's only one thing wrong with it. It's 140 feet tall. Of course, we couldn't put it in the house. It's so tall, we put it in the front yard, and already there's one ornament hanging on it. The night plane to San Francisco.
You know, they used to have great trees at all the military installations we'd visit. Wendell Niles, who was our announcer for many years, described one of the best trees.
The hospital is buzzing with excitement as the nurses and the patients prepare for their annual Christmas party. I don't know when I've seen so many happy faces. Over here on my left, a few sergeants are stringing up some lights on a tree. And over here on my right, a few enlisted men are stringing up some sergeants on another tree.
One of the problems we used to have at the military camp shows was getting trees for the servicemen and women. Sometimes we even had trouble with decorations. Once Jerry Colonna called us while we were on the air, and I try to get him to help us.
Well, Colonna, I need more Christmas decorations. Do you have any tinsels?
Oh, no, Hope. I had them taken out when I was a kid. Oh.
Colonna, this isn't time for corny jokes.
That's funny. Could have sworn we were on the air. By the way, Hope, where are you?
Oh, I'm at the Birmingham Hospital.
Was it a boy?
One place where they never had any trouble with trees is at NBC's home in New York City. Every year, the giant tree in Rockefeller Center is the Christmas showpiece of the city. It's 10,000 brightly colored bulbs saying more than words possibly can about peace on earth and goodwill toward men. The lighting of the tree is the official signal that the Christmas season in New York has started. Thousands of people gather at the skating rink in Rockefeller Plaza the night the tree is lit. I helped press the button myself this year, and cheer from the crowd is really a thrill. Like the year Archbishop Terence J. Cook and Rockefeller Center President G.S. Eisel got together with a group of kids to light the giant 70-foot spruce. Joining them under the tree, the new Christy Minstrels, who just couldn't help singing when the tree came to life.
One, two, three.
Jim Henson's Muppet, Rolf, John Denver, and Santa Claus are all coming up on Bob Hope's NBC Christmas, Just Like the Ones We Used to Know. And on Monday, December 20th on NBC TV, it's the merriest of the merry, Bob Hope's Christmas Show, A Bag Full of Comedy. Tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for the best Christmas show on TV. But stay tuned for the best Christmas show on radio. And right now, this from Whitman's Chocolates.
Christmas was very different when I was a little girl. We had more time to enjoy it, time to taste the goodness of it. And one thing I especially liked about Christmas was that somebody always gave us a Whitman sampler. Just seeing a Whitman sampler takes me back. So every year, when it's close to Christmas, I drop a few hints. And Jack, or one of the children, surprises me with a Whitman sampler.
Whitman's Chocolates, a nice surprise at Christmas, ever since 1842.
It's a Bob Hope NBC Christmas just like the ones we used to know. And right now, sauntering up to his spinet piano, Jim Henson's Muppet, Rolf. Ah, Rolf is sitting down now, and Mr. John Denver approaches our NBC microphone dressed in a red tasseled cap and feeding a small reindeer. Let's listen.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. John.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Have
make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore.
Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow.
Hang a shining star upon the highest bough,
and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
They're too much, aren't they? John Denver and Rolf. One way to have yourself a merry little Christmas is slide up to the buffet on Christmas Day. And I've done some sliding in my time, I'll tell you. I've seen some, too. Take the Christmas we were at Long Beach Veterans Hospital.
I had Christmas dinner in one of the dining rooms here. Boy, they really went after that food. I said to the guy next to me, "How's the stuffing?" And the guy stuck his head out of the turkey's mouth and said, "Fine." But having Christmas dinner at a hospital is quite an experience. The turkey was brought in on a stretcher with a thermometer in its mouth. And they just can't seem to forget that their doctor's here. Before the major carved the turkey, he put on his rubber gloves, and every 5 seconds he'd yell, "More oxygen, more oxygen." And boy, these soldiers will eat anything. During the meal, the phone disappeared, and we didn't know what happened to it until somebody called the hospital and the private next to me started ringing. These soldiers can eat till the cows come home. The only trouble is, when they're eating, the cows are afraid to come home. They ate 10 pounds of cranberries before somebody told them they were supposed to take them out of the cans first. And the soldier across from me was swallowing whole pieces of turkey. I said, "What about the bones?" He said, "Fine, hand them over." One poor guy was on a liquid diet. He dampened the turkey before he swallowed it whole. And after they'd finished everything inside, I said, "Shall I call the waiter?" They said, "No, call the cook. He's got more meat on him."
The veterans at Long Beach had plenty of turkey in the straw that Christmas, but not everyone is so fortunate. I remember another Christmas when I was walking along Hollywood Boulevard and I ran into a street corner Santa who had more than his share of trouble. Or did he?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, it's my old friend Santa Claus. Happy Yuletide to you.
What's happy about it? I got chilblains on my feet, my hands are so cold I've been ringing the bell with my teeth, and this morning they shut off my grandfather's Social Security.
Well, why should you worry about your grandfather's Social Security?
He's dead. I've been collecting it. Things are horrible. Put some money in the pot, boy.
Well, I'm sorry you have such a sad story to tell.
You ain't heard it all yet. You know what happened yesterday? My wife ran away with a neighbor next door.
Oh, gee, that's terrible. How could that happen to you?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess. Merry Christmas, everybody. I don't know if I ever told you or not, boy, but I come from awful poor folks.
Real poor, huh?
Yep. There are 15 of us kids, and we didn't have any clothes at all.
No clothes? Well, how could you keep warm?
Well, every year come September, my mother would call us all in and Simonize us for the winter.
Well, that's pretty bad. But my folks had real poverty. We didn't have anything to eat at all.
Really, boy?
That's just a straight line, you know. You don't have to... Sneaky fellow actor. Yeah, all right, we'll go. Yeah, we had... Give me that in there. We had real poverty at our house. Our kitchen was so bare, the mice used to come in, take a look around, and leave something for us in the trap.
That about the mice in our house, boy. We had hundreds of mice. We didn't have any cheese to catch them with.
No kidding?
The only thing we could catch a mouse with was to bait the trap with an IOU. put some money in the pot, boy.
Just a second, Santa. Who does this money go to?
Well, it goes to buy parachutes for baby kangaroos that fall out of their mother's pouches.
Look, do you realize that what you're doing is practically larceny?
It is.
Oh, he's playing him full way tonight. Certainly it's larceny. You're taking all this money, you don't keep any books. So no one can tell how much you've taken in, and with no record, the government can't charge any income tax.
I know. Get yourself a pot, boy.
That Santa Claus was played by a man named Jack Kirkwood. He's beautiful. And, well, we'll hear from him later in the show. Right now, here's Bill St. James.
Jack Webb and Stan Freberg revive Christmas Dragnet when a Bob Hope NBC Christmas just like the ones we used to know returns after this from Kraft.
Once upon a time, there was a family that always had a family reunion at Christmas. The children came from far and wide. The mother cooked for days and days. There was tons and tons of turkey. Everyone was excited because they knew that the next day they could have turkey on white with Miracle Whip. Only the next day there was no Miracle Whip. So days later, there was still tons and tons of turkey. The moral of the story, a turkey sandwich isn't a sandwich without the tangy zip of Miracle Whip salad dressing, the bread spread.